We get that college acceptance letter, you know, that feeling, right? The one from that dream school. But then the financial burden hits you. It's a weight so many people in the U.S. know all too well. But it's surprisingly less common in, say, Sweden. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question.
That's what we are diving into today. The differences in how the U.S. and Nordic countries approach higher education and all the ripple effects.
And it's a puzzle, right? I mean, they have similar levels of wealth in both of these regions, but the path totally diverges when it comes to how they fund higher education.
Yeah, and just to set the scene here, we're not talking about like slight variations. We're talking in the U.S., it relies heavily on private sources like tuition, which leads to high overall spending, but you know, big inequality.
Huge contrast, right? Because you go to the Nordic model and they're embracing those higher income taxes, right, to fund this very public system of funding. And it leads to more equitable access, but there's a debate, right, about potential trade-offs when we think about the overall economic output.
Okay, so more equitable,
Yeah.
but potentially lower economic output. See, that's already like counterintuitive to me.
Right.
And get this, in the U.S., we spend almost double per student on higher education compared to the Nordic
It
average.
makes you think, what are we getting for all that?
Right, what are we getting? If it's not necessarily better outcomes.
Exactly. And that's where it gets even more interesting because to unpack this, we're going to this 2020 paper by Orhan Torol, published in the Journal of Human Capital.
Now, before you think, oh no, not another dense economics paper, trust me, this one's different.
It is. It is. And you know what makes this research stand out? They use an economic model, but it's relatable
Okay.
because it doesn't treat everyone the same.
Right, of course.
It considers different skills, family wealth, opportunities. It's called heterogeneous agents, which is a fancy way of saying not everyone starts on the same step of the ladder.
Right, okay, so not a one size fits all. But how does this model explain these two systems, you know, the US versus the Nordic?
Well, remember that concept, the Great Gatsby curve. It links income inequality and social mobility.
Okay, yeah.
And sadly, the US not doing so great there. High inequality, less social mobility.
And the Nordic countries, they have that emphasis on equal access, greater social mobility.
Exactly. And that's where the model starts getting really interesting because it gives us a clue as to why these systems exist.
So buckle up, everybody, because we're going deeper into this model and
Yeah.
unpacking some surprising predictions. Trust me, you don't need an economics degree to follow along. Okay, so we've got this model, and it's supposed to factor in like the real world, right?
Yeah.
But how does it actually work?
Think of it like a simulation.
Okay.
We can like change the tax rates and see what happens. One of the cool things is it looks at individual choices.
Like whether you go to public or private school.
Yeah. Think about it. Public education, it might be affordable, but maybe not those fancy extras. The model gets that.
Like choosing a car, right?
Yeah.
Reliable versus luxury.
Exactly. Now there's this thing called human capital externalities. Sounds complicated,
Yeah, a little.
but think of it like this. A rising tide lifts all boats. More education benefits everyone.
So it's not just me, it's everyone does better.
Exactly. And guess what plays a big role? Taxes. That difference in tax rates. The model says that's huge in explaining the difference between like the US and Nordic systems.
So, like in that simulation, we change the tax rate and the whole thing shifts.
Exactly. And what happens when we push that tax rate up or down? Well, the model has some surprising predictions, especially about how the whole economy performs.
All right, lay it on me. What does this model predict happens when you mess with that tax rate?
So get this, it predicts a U-shaped curve.
A U-shaped curve. Okay, now I'm really intrigued because, like, intuitively, wouldn't higher taxes mean a worse economy? People have less money to spend, right?
It seems like common sense, but the model says actually, both really high taxes and really low taxes can mean a better economy.
Okay, how does that work? Explain it to me like I'm five.
Okay, so low taxes, think US, right? Less public money for education. People got to pay more themselves and people get left out.
And even if you do go, maybe you don't invest as much in your education because it's so expensive.
Exactly. Lower human capital overall hurts the economy long term. Now, crank those taxes up like the Nordics. More people can afford school, right?
Makes sense.
But here's the thing, some people who would be paid for a really good, maybe private education, they just go with the good enough public option. So the average education level might actually dip a little.
Ah, so it's like finding that sweet spot. Enough public funding to help, but not so much that it disincentivizes people completely.
That's A. And here's where the model gets really cool. You keep increasing those taxes, and suddenly public education, it's so good, everyone wants it. And that highly educated workforce, it outweighs the cost of the taxes. That's where you climb back up that U-curve.
So you're saying going all in on either end, fully public or mostly private like the U.S., could be better than trying to do both.
Economically speaking, yeah, that's what it suggests. But real life is messy, right?
Oh, for sure. What about like student loans? How good the public schools already are? Just people's attitudes about education?
Exactly. The model doesn't capture all that. It's just a starting point.
Right. A framework.
It even leaves out things like international students, which is a big deal for the U.S., you know, attracting talent from all over.
So cool model helps us think, but not the whole picture.
For sure. There's politics, social values, even just a country's history with education. It all matters.
Makes you think about those countries in the middle, you know? Yeah. The model says that's not great economically, so what are they prioritizing?
Million-dollar question. No easy answers, which makes this so interesting to talk about.
It does. We've really nerded out today, models, predictions. But I think what I'm left with is think critically.
100%. Question those assumptions, look deeper.
Yes. Hopefully this got you thinking about education, economics, how they all connect, and maybe, just maybe, you'll keep digging into this stuff yourself. Until next time.